Good morning, everyone. Good morning. If I could ask you to take your seats, please, we'll start. Good morning. Can I ask you to take your seats? Sorry to interrupt. We like to be very punctual to start exactly at 7:30. Get you away by 9. So good morning, everyone. Welcome to the City Prayer Breakfast. It's a great pleasure to introduce our speaker this morning, Jeremy Anderson, who's the Global Chairman of Financial Services for KPMG. Just a couple of quick notices. First of all, a number of us, David Jackman, Richard Begonnen, Matt Bird and I and others, are going to launch in the next little while a new Giving to Support the Gospel initiative. So you'll get an email about that. On the food side, we have three options today. For those of you who I might segment as being Daily Telegraph readers, we have the full traditional English breakfast. I'm not sure if that comes with UKippers or not, but anyway, that's over there. For those of you who are more of a Guardian inclination, want the healthy muesli option, that's over there to my right. And those of you who are in the cheap seats, maybe we'll call you the Metro readers. If you stay where you are, you'll get the pastries. Let me say a couple of words to start with. Recently, I went with my family to Israel, and we had an Orthodox Jewish guide who spends most of his time showing evangelicals around Israel. And he said many things that were nice about Christians, but he said two things struck him as strange. One was that Christians didn't know the Old Testament. Shame on us. And the second thing which really struck home with me was this, that he said, I find it very odd the way you pray. Because you Christians, evangelicals, when you pray, everything is I, me, my. But surely didn't Jesus teach you to pray our Father? So a few words on our Father. It's our. Yes, of course, as Christians, we're meant to pray as individuals, but how much more are we meant to pray collectively? So isn't it wonderful to come together with other Christians from throughout the city and pray together? Our. Second word, Father. We're not praying to some remote, impersonal God. We're praying to our Heavenly Father who loves us because we are his children. And how do our small children, not our grumpy teenagers, but how do our small children come to us? They come to us with trust, don't they? They're not cynical. They're, if anything, naive. They expect to get something good. How much more, then, friends, should we expect to get something good from our Heavenly Father who loves us? And why does the Father receive us? Not because of anything good in us, but because of his Son, the Lord Jesus. The cross connects us to God. You see, our prayers are hopeless, aren't they? At least mine are. Maybe yours are great, but mine are. They're inadequate. They're weak. We have a grasshopper. Do you have a grasshopper mind? As soon as you settle on something, you then start hopping around to something else. But it doesn't matter. Our prayers delight God, not because they're any good. They're not. They're bad. But because when he hears us pray, he hears his Son. And that's my third point, coming back to the hour. Because who was teaching us to pray our Father? It was our Lord. Our Father. It's also his Father. Our elder brother. And when we pray, we are received by the Almighty Father because of the Son. But we mustn't forget the third person of the Trinity. This is a very bad analogy, but I'm going to use it anyway. Let's think of prayer like a phone. There is the Father controlling all things in the universe. And how do we reach him? We can only reach him, friends, by the Son. That's the phone, if you like. Only through the Son, only through the Son's death. But we have to pick up the jolly phone, don't we? We have to make that call. And we struggle. Friends, don't we struggle? Even today, every day we struggle because we're so busy and stupid things take up our mind. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit encourages us to pick up the phone and call our Father. This is what good old John Bunyan said. Oh, how great a task it is for a poor soul to say in faith, but this one word, Father. Oh, we say, I dare not call him Father. But so it is that the Holy Spirit must be sent into the hearts of all God's people for this very thing, to cry, Abba, Father. So, friends, Why are we praying? Why are we here today? We're here because all good gifts come to us from the Father. They come in the Son by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that encouraging? I hope you're encouraged. We're not alone. If it was just us praying, how poor and how weak that would be. But we have the three persons of the Blessed Trinity. As we pray to the Father, so we're met at our tables by the Son and by the Spirit, who encourage us and help us in our weakness. So in that spirit of necessity of God's blessing, of reliance on the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and on the encouragement and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, let's pray this morning. What we're going to do now is we're going to stand and sing two songs, and after that we'll have a video, and then after that, please proceed to your muster stations to pick up your breakfast. So let's stand and sing.
If Jesus is Lord everywhere, then he's Lord even in my workplace.
But sometimes because of the busy world, I find it very easy to forget.
I sit with lots of Muslims and Hindus, and they're quite open about their faith and, you know, the many gods they serve and all their festivals and everything. So, you know, it struck me that if they can be so open and proud about their faith, I can be, because Jesus is Lord of the whole world. And he's above their God.
God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes will have eternal life. So the fact he loves the world, that surely must mean everyone, and clearly everyone in our offices, even when they're unlovable.
You know, we may work for these big organisations, our managers may be, you know, larger than life, but we serve the Lord and he is bigger than everybody.
He will return to this world and judge the people who don't believe in him. In the city, their friends and colleagues that are loved.
God wants everyone in our offices to hear the gospel.
I just sort of felt like it was a religion for Caucasians, and so it didn't apply to me. And actually, the fact that Jesus is Lord everywhere over, like, the whole world, and that everyone has the opportunity to be saved across all nations, is just such an amazing truth.
It's important to continue reminding myself of that every day by surrounding myself with the Word. You know, I read my Bible every day, listen to worship songs.
At times it's difficult to believe that Jesus is Lord because I guess he's not right in front of me whilst my managing director is.
You know, the gospel is true and I don't need to add anything to it. I just need to share the gospel and let God be God.
The city is not all about work, and it's also God's big mission field to save people for his new creation.
And that's much more important than a bonus or anything else at work. It's about knowing Jesus, and my colleagues really need that.
End of this video. Please now go and get the food, and we'll pick up again in about 20 minutes' time. And after that, we'll hear from Jeremy Anderson. Thank you.
The reading is from Luke chapter 8. And I'm reading from verse 1. It's on your sheet, in the first page of your sheets. Luke chapter 8 from verse 1. Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and healed it 100-fold." As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciple asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. Skipping on to verse 19. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it."
Well, good morning, everybody. It is a great pleasure to be with you. We want to leave plenty of time to pray, but I was asked if I would say a few words to really set the context for our prayers before we pray first time, and then I'll introduce the two subsequent prayer slots. And I hope that my remarks will help us both pray for the city in a big way, but also for specific ministry opportunities. Now, the title for this year's breakfast is Christianity in the Public Square. And I guess if the question is, does the Christian message have something to speak powerfully into life in the city, then the answer has to be a resounding yes. But I just want to start a little bit by talking about what we actually mean by that, because I wonder if what we as Christians mean is the same as what some of those who are not yet Christian would think when we talk about Christianity in the public square. So if we think of the city's sort of current business and social environment, where people are understandably concerned about have we lost our moral compass, are values declining, then I think maybe non-Christians would think we're going to talk about how do we project the Christian view on ethics, behaviours, attitudes, right and wrong into the city environment. Now, if we are made in God's image and we live in a world that he created and we live under a set of rules that he established, well, I guess that's bound to be, should be, an attractive perspective for people. But that's not at the top of my priority list for today. And then I guess others may think about interventions as the Archbishop of Canterbury made around Wonga and its crippling interest rates. And it's right, isn't it, that we should have real compassion on those who are suffering, just as Jesus did. And I actually sit on Hector Sant's Responsible Credit Task Force, because I think there are some real issues of social justice there. But I think that we all know that at best, these are only going to be sticking plasters, because real transformation happens when people turn back to God, have a new living relationship with him, and then live that out in practice. And so I thought that this morning we would use those words and look at what Luke's gospel has to say about his take on the role of the word in our offices, in our communities, and in our workplaces. And why Luke? Well, I was away at a Bible week earlier in the year, and I see a few other faces who I know were there at the same time, and we were looking at the first half of Luke. And I was really struck by how much emphasis Luke places on God's word and Jesus' word. It's always there, just at the surface of his narrative. And so in this first slot this morning, I want to look a little bit about what Luke says about that and the place of God's word in the public square. In our second slot, we're going to think about London as an international hub and crossroads and what opportunities that bring. And then our final slot, we will just pray for some specific opportunities. But for those of you who don't know me, let me just introduce myself. I'm a partner at KPMG, and KPMG is a reasonably enlightened place to work and relatively easy to be a Christian. And indeed, about 3 weeks ago, we closed all our UK offices for the day. We took 13,000 staff to the O2 Arena because we wanted to refresh our values programme and we wanted to tell people about our strategy. And our UK senior partner stood up in front of everybody and said, look, we want the firm to be a place where people don't have to leave religion at the door when they come in. And actually, throughout the day, there was opportunities for the major religious networks, the Christian groups, the other networks, to just stand up and give a quick introduction to what they do. We still have to compete for attention. There are plenty of active societies, the Islamic Society, the LGBT networks, but we do have the freedom to speak the gospel respectfully within the firm, which is great. But we're not completely enlightened. So we have not yet added to our annual 360-degree feedback a question along the lines of, is Jeremy an effective witness for the gospel in the workplace? And so imagine for a moment that all of us work for organisations where the HR department did put that question in, and then we pulled our responses and we looked, and I wonder what they would say. And I'm rather ashamed to say that I think mine might say something like, Jeremy has been listening to St. Francis of Assisi too much. Now, I found no evidence that St. Francis actually said this, but many of you may know that he's often quoted as saying, preach the gospel, use words if you must. But I think if we turn to look at the passage that we've been was read to us just now, and it is printed on the sheet, we're going to see that Luke has some different priorities. And indeed, in just five verses, he mentions the word four times. And I think if we look at Luke's gospel, that comes through the whole way that we see the gospel so far. So back in chapter 1, verse 1, Luke talks about the early disciples being eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Then in chapter 4, Jesus is very clear about his priorities. I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God. And then if you remember chapters 4 and 5, we see a whole string of miracles where we see the authority of Jesus' word and its power to heal. So he speaks and things happen. He says, come out, and the demon leaves the man. He says, be clean, and the leper is clean. And then we have that wonderful episode with the paralytic where he says, friend, your sins are forgiven. And then goes on to say, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, get up, take up your mat, and go home. And then just before this passage in chapter 7, we see Roman centurion, somebody who would understand authority, recognizing the authority of Jesus' words, and saying, say the word, and my servant will be healed. And so the scene that we're going to look at now in the parable of the sower, I think, is set for us in the first verse of the chapter, where we're told that Jesus travelled about from town to town, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And I think normally when we look at the parable of the sower, we often look at what is the response to God's word, and of course, always, sadly, not the response that God would want. But for this morning, I really just want us to focus on the seed. What is it that's being sown? And in verse 11 here, we see very clearly that the seed is the word of God. And then we see, we can deduce from verse 12, that the purpose of the word of God is that people would hear the word, they would believe the word, and they would be saved. And we see this mention of the word repeated four times here in five verses, and I assume that's because Luke wants us to get it, that it's the word that people need to hear. So in verse 11, we're told that the seed, if you like, the initiator of new life, is the word of God. In verse 12, he talks about the word again and the implications of not hearing and believing it. In verse 13, we see that the word is repeated, this time as the way that the good news is conveyed. And then when we get to verse 15, we see the word at work as it should be. It's taken root, it's been retained, and it's bearing fruit. And then I asked us to put in that little end paragraph starting at verse 19, because just in case we get the wrong idea and we think it's all about us and doing good work, in verse 21, Jesus is very clear, I think, that it's about a restored relationship with him. So we see in verse chapter 8, verse 21, he says, "My mother and brothers, so I his close family members, they are the ones who hear God's word and put it into practice." So I think it's pretty clear from Luke that his take on things is that if the city is going to be changed, it's going to be through the transformation of individuals, hearing God's word, accepting it through his spirit, and coming to a relationship with him through faith in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And then, of course, going on to produce fruit, hopefully giving glory to God and bringing benefit to everybody around them. And I just wanted to remind us of this at the start, because I think it's easy for us to lose confidence in the word as the power of God for salvation, isn't it, in this day and age? I mentioned KPMG at the arena at the start, and it turned out to be a great day. But I think our UK leadership team were understandably nervous about taking 13,000 people there, average age 27, and people are really used to razzmatazz and presentation in their life. So the leadership team didn't have confidence in the word alone or in words alone. So we had serious internal speakers, we had Bob Geldof, but we had a whole lot of razzmatazz around it. So Lenny Henry was compere for the day, we had the KPMG X Factor, and we had three bands throughout the day, one of which I had heard of, Madness, and two others, Florence and the Machine and Tiny Temper, I had not heard of, and haven't heard of since either. But for us as Christians, we don't need all that, do we? I think time and time again we see in Luke's Gospel and in his Volume 2 Acts that it's God's word that is at work, and all we have to do is make it known to people who don't yet know him. It's God's word that through his Spirit is going to bring forgiveness of sins, restored relationships, and will lead to that bearing of fruit for God and for those around Christians. And of course we want to present it attractively, don't we? But the word is powerful enough, working through the Spirit. We just need to let it be known. So as we turn to prayer now, can I just give us a few things to add to what's on the sheet already? Let's give thanks that we can have confidence in God's word. We see so many times that the promises made in the Old Testament and the New Testament have been fulfilled. Let's give thanks that it does transform lives. I guess we've seen that in ourselves, and we see it in others around us who sit under the word. Let's pray that we would put the word at the centre of proclaiming the gospel and our gospel conversations over the next few months. And let's pray that in the city here, people would receive it, believe it, and bear fruit, so that lives would be transformed and that would go out into the city as a whole. Let's pray for the next few minutes. Right, can I ask you to bring your prayers to a close? Well, just give us some thoughts before we pray again. We're going to run our second video clip and hear what some of the people who work in the city just think about some of the opportunities at the moment.
Well, if we're talking about opportunities in the city, they're all over the place.
There are just so many people inside the bank that I work for. And that's just so many people who haven't heard the gospel.
When I'm talking to people from different cultures, is asking about what they believe in, but then I tend to have a great opportunity to share the gospel with them.
It's a financial centre. People will essentially flock here of all ages.
You know, grads coming in from uni, people from different walks of life. And so we've got a great platform to reach all these different people.
But I think we have to find a way to engage with people. And one particular area for me is about using modern technology. And I'd encourage and ask for prayer anyone at the breakfast in particular who has those skills, digital skills. They're really important now.
If you think about it, you spend more time within your workplace than you do with your loved ones. And we go through a wide variety of emotions in a workplace. They can be happy emotions if you're a fund manager. They can be sad emotions. And that gives you an opportunity to talk to your colleagues about a whole variety of subjects. And as a Christian, that provides me with an opportunity to talk to them about the gospel of Christ.
In the city, there are a lot of people that who may just work here for a number of years and then they will head back to their home country.
One of the things that's changed, I think, possibly through the period of the crisis, is less outright hostility, which sometimes, ironically, is easier in a way to create a conversation, and more just kind of bored neutrality.
I went to Mumbai for the business trip. It is essentially mostly a Hindu country, and actually just thinking there's so many people there that need to hear. That was amazing. So just using those links. So if God's just been so gracious to give you the opportunity to go out and reach different parts of the world, we should definitely make use of it.
There are so many opportunities here in the city to be able to share the gospel.
Well, it's great to see people thinking about those opportunities, isn't it? And just to set the scene for our prayers, I want to take us back into Luke. And we left Luke in the middle of chapter 8, and at this stage we had, I think, seen the role and the power of God's word, but we haven't yet seen how it's actually going to get out and reach people. And, of course, that is a bit of a problem, isn't it? Because you may remember back in Genesis 12 that God had made this big promise to Abraham that I will make you a great nation and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So if this blessing is going to come through God's word, how's that going to happen? Well, at the start of chapter 9, we see that Jesus calls 12 disciples together, gives them power, and sends them out to preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. And I take it that those 12 are representative of the tribes of Israel, and they're going out village to village in chapter 9, spreading the good news. And that is a sign of God's the fulfillment of God's promises to his chosen people. But then even more exciting for me is the beginning of chapter 10, which you've got on your sheets here, which is where Jesus calls 72 disciples and sends them out. And the reason I think this is really exciting is that according to these scholars and commentators who know their stuff, 72 was the known number of nations in the world at that time. And they're reasonably confident that if the 12 going out was symbolic of the gospel going to Israel, now the 72 is symbolic of the gospel going out to the whole world, to all nations. And of course, we saw that in Pentecost, then with Paul being called to go to the Gentiles. And you see the gospel going out through those sort of arteries of the Roman Empire. And if we think about how it was that the gospel spread like wildfire then, partly it was because that communications infrastructure of the Roman Empire and the international travel that took people around across borders and spread the word. And so I want us to ask ourselves this morning of, do we have a big enough vision for the opportunity we have in the city? So just think for a moment about people you work with, people in your clients, your friends, your acquaintances, the people who work in your competitors. I think we see, don't we, that London is a real international hub these days. Some people coming to work, but many others just coming for a period and then going back to whether it came from or going on elsewhere. And I wonder if we have enough vision for how to use that as an opportunity. I was in Beijing last month, and one of the highlights for me was dinner with a Christian pastor. He'd become a Christian in China. He'd been in London for a couple of years to get some ministry training. He's now back in Beijing. And with the support of a local church in Beijing, he's hired an apartment in one of the business districts, and he started a small church. So they've now got faithful witness, midweek, Sundays, Bible studies, still small, but growing every week. And I just thought, wasn't that wonderful to see, if you like, the role that London can do, helping people come, know the gospel, grow, and then go back. And so I think as we turn to pray, let's make sure that we really have that vision for, you know, how can we make sure that people coming to London do hear the gospel, but not just that, how can we really equip them so that when they go back, they could be salt and light and spread the word, as we saw in those early days of Christianity. It's great that London is so international, isn't it? So let's use it. So can I challenge all of us to pray about, you've got some prayer points on the sheet, but I challenge myself in particular to pray about, you know, do we have that big vision for those flow of people? When we think about the people we're praying for, are we broad enough? Or do we think that we will just, do we pray about people like us, but where do we have that vision for praying for lots of people and lots of internationals throughout London? And then what can each of us do in this international environment to make the most of the context that God's given us to witness for him? So let's turn to pray. Well, can I ask you to bring your prayers to a close? Just before we come on to our final prayer slot, we're going to look at the last video just to inspire us with some specific things to pray for.
To support the public announcement of the gospel, I meet to pray with other Christians.
I try to make my colleagues know that I'm a Christian from the beginning.
And together we work to try and get the gospel out there through a variety of means.
There is a RBS prayer group, and it's a group of us who come together as Christians who pray for our colleagues. There's so many lunchtime talks that happen across all of London. And so, you know, it's great if you can bring your colleagues, and I just pray that I can do so. But even if I can't, then I like to come along, not only just to be fed for myself.
The lunchtime services and the prayer groups are great because they establish a public presence for the proclamation of the gospel.
There is a great chance to be able to stand with other Christians and to proclaim that Jesus is Lord.
Engage our colleagues and friends in one-to-one conversations, just in the natural course of our day, after work, lunchtime, socialising.
We do hold dialogue events which are set up by the RBS prayer group.
Try and encourage our colleagues to come along to carol services, quiz nights, services at church, just things where they can hear the gospel.
We try to connect with other Chinese Christians in other offices to reach out to their non-believing Chinese colleagues.
I actually saw a Christian newspaper, and it was really exciting because it's just a quick way of getting the gospel across. Everyone grabs a newspaper on the way home.
So I got together 50 Christmas bags, which contained John's gospel, a bottle of brandy, and a Christmas story in it. And I sent an email, put the bags on various people's desks.
My company has the good fortune of hosting its own carol service for the company, which is put on in a local church. Outwardly, I see very little sign of them responding to Jesus. And that can be hard, that can be discouraging, but I have to remember that God is still at work when the gospel goes out, when his word is preached. Please pray for us to be bold to stand up for Jesus, because it does feel as though there's not many of us sometimes.
Prayer for conviction, courage to get out there and do it would be really helpful.
So in a moment we're going to pray about some, encourage us to pray about some specific things. But let's just go back to Luke for a moment, because we left Luke with the 72 going out to take the message to all the nations. And by the time we get to 10:22, which is on the back of your sheets, the 72 are back with Jesus. And this is what he says. Jesus says, "No one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And then this is the bit. "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but didn't see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." So I think let's really treasure the fact that we do have the eyewitness accounts of the death and resurrection and life and impact through the Spirit of Jesus. Death and resurrection, that we can see as we look back over 2,000 years how God's plans come to fruition, how we've seen the power of God for salvation work in so many millions of people. And let's treasure that should give us real confidence for the work of the Word in the public square. So can I encourage us to think about our prayers in three categories, maybe first for individuals, so whether it's friends or acquaintances or colleagues, whether it's conversations or reading one-to-one or an invitation to a talk, let's pray about putting God's word at the centre of those conversations and dialogue that we have them. Maybe also we should think about praying for some Christian friends of ours as well. I was talking to a Christian colleague, a relatively new Christian, the other day, and I just said to him, would you like to read through John one-to-one with me? It'd take me a few weeks to get round to this. I said it with a bit of trepidation. He said, "Oh, Jeremy, I'd be delighted to. I'm not getting much teaching in my local church. I'm feeling a bit flat as a Christian. I would love to sit and read through John's Gospel with you." And if you haven't used these, the word one-to-one, they're a great resource. They're very easy to use. They're very non-threatening. And Richard Begonnen has an endless supply for you to take and use. But can we also pray, I think, about the public square? Because I'm not sure that just conversations with friends are going to do enough. If you think about Paul, he was relentless, wasn't he? Whether it was the philosophers on Mars Hill, whether it was in prison, whether it was on a shipwrecked boat, whether it was in synagogues or marketplaces, he was out there making the word known. And so can I, a couple of hundreds of us here today, can I really challenge us to think through, how can we make sure that we are serving all those many tens of thousands who work in central London? And it's been great over the years to see Christians getting together in offices to pray about taking the word into the public square, and to see lunchtime talks popping up in bars, in galleries, in churches. And I think it's great, not everybody can get out at lunchtime, but for those of us who can, just to be there with those works, to stand for the gospel, to make clear that we value what Christ says and we believe it, I think is a great encouragement to everybody. But also, there aren't lunchtime works everywhere at the moment. And I think the last couple that have started up, one in Paddington and one in Chiswick, just a handful of people getting together, committing to just have a regular lunchtime talk, inviting other people, it doesn't take very much. So if you're in the position where you don't have something local to you, maybe you'd like to think about whether you could get together with one or two Christians in your local area and just start something to see if you can get something going. And then let's pray for our workplaces, because I think as employees we want to serve the Lord by working well and responsibly. But can I encourage us to make use of the freedoms that we do have? Every firm's different, but I think lots of firms are now encouraging diversity weeks. I know that the Bank of England and Linklaters have both had those recently, and it's been a great chance for the Christian groups there to put on talks or lectures. And then just last night, Christians in KPMG, as part of our Diversity Week, put on a screening of the film Gravity. Now, you might say, what's that got to do with the gospel? Well, the director of the film, Alfonso Cuarón, apparently said that outer space is a metaphor for inner space. And so we invited people to come and view the film and then enter into a discussion with a Christian commentator on culture and a specialist in films to start people thinking about what's the meaning of life and start gospel conversations. So I hope those are some very practical things to pray about. Let's pray in our last few minutes for individuals, for the market square, and for our workplaces as well.
So I'm afraid it's our time is nearly up. Just a couple of things at the end if you'd like to stop praying. I'm really grateful to William Taylor and everyone at St. Helens for year after year letting us use St. Helens. And you may not realise this, but all the people who provide this food are volunteers who get up at, I don't know, 2 a.m. or something to fry the bacon. So maybe you can join me and just give them a round of applause. And even volunteers need some encouragement. Our Lord set the example by washing his disciples' feet. Don't worry, you don't have to wash the volunteers' feet, but you can do something else, which is it would be really great once you've finished if everybody could clear the table, please, to the various clearing points. That just massively reduces the time that the volunteers have to take. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Just a couple of things then to sum up. Today's theme was the public proclamation of the gospel. And what a wonderful verse we have in Luke chapter 10, verse 22, on the back of your sheet. All things, so that includes London, the city of London. Great to see all our friends from Canary Wharf and other remote areas of London. All things. Isn't that wonderful? All things, not just part. All things have been handed over, including the whole of London, to me, to the Lord Jesus, by my Father. And no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So friends, let's have confidence in the public proclamation of the gospel. As Jeremy said, it's great, and bless you, Richard, for all the one-to-one stuff you're doing. We need more of that, but we also need confidence in the public proclamation. And if you're not in a group in your workplace, a Christian's group, maybe now is a good time to start one. Now, this seems very challenging, doesn't it? And on our own, we'll fail totally. So that's why we need prayer. If we go out on our own, we're going to fail. We're going to trip over the step as we go out and we'll fall flat on our face, metaphorically speaking. We need the power of prayer. Or maybe you say, I can't pray. I find it so difficult. Well, join the club. That's why we need the triune God to help us as we pray. So as you go into the world for the next 364 days, and we hope, friends, to see you back here in a year's time, remember that we can access God the Father, our Father who loves us, through the Son, for the sake of his Son, for the sake of his Son's death on the cross, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're never, ever alone when we pray. We have the divine and wonderful Trinity helping us and aiding us in our weakness. And it's exactly when we feel our weakness, when we feel like a small child, helpless, that's precisely when God will help us. So let's stand now and sing, "Go forth and tell, O Church of God, awake." Let's pray. Go forth and tell, O Church of God, arise. Go in the strength which Christ your Lord supplies. Go till all nations his great name adore and serve him Lord and King forevermore. O Lord, help us to go out of this place. Help us to adore you, to worship you, to love you, the King of glory and the King of grace. Give us your strength, we pray. We cannot do this on our own. We are weak and feeble and sinful. We need you, Lord God. Send your Holy Spirit into our hearts and into our lives that we may together as Christians in London proclaim the wonderful news of sins forgiven and a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Amen.